You're listening to KNNA LP FM 95.7 in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Next is a live broadcast of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church worship service with Pastors Poppy and Mirandi.
Take away the sin of the world. Amen. Amen. Hymn 578, verses 1 through 50. Baptism on page 268. Page 268. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Dearly beloved, Christ our Lord says in the last chapter of Matthew, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." In the last chapter of Mark, our Lord promises, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved." And the Apostle Peter has written, baptism now saves you. The Word of God also teaches that we are all conceived and born sinful and are under the power of the devil until Christ claims us as His own. We would be lost forever unless delivered from sin, death, and everlasting condemnation. But the Father of all mercy and grace has sent His Son, Jesus Christ, who atoned for the sin of the whole world, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. How is your daughter named?
Amber Grace Jackson.
All right. Amber Grace Jackson, receive the sign of the Holy Cross both upon your forehead and upon your heart to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the Crucified. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, according to your strict judgment, you condemned the unbelieving world through the flood. Yet according to your great mercy, you preserved believing Noah and his family, 8 souls in all. You drowned hard-hearted Pharaoh and all his host in the Red Sea, yet led your people Israel through the water on dry ground, foreshadowing this washing of your holy baptism. Through the baptism in the Jordan of your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, you sanctified and instituted all waters to be a blessed flood and a lavish washing away of sin. We pray that you would behold Amber according to your boundless mercy and bless her with true faith by the Holy Spirit, that through this saving flood, all sin in her, which has been inherited from Adam, and which she herself has committed since, would be drowned and die. Grant that she be kept safe and secure in the holy ark of the Christian church, being separated from the multitude of unbelievers and serving your name at all times with a fervent spirit and a joyful hope, so that with all believers in your promise, she would be declared worthy of eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
From ancient times, the church has observed the custom of appointing sponsors for baptismal candidates and catechumens. In the Evangelical Lutheran Church, sponsors are to confess the faith expressed in the Apostles' Creed and taught in the Small Catechism. They are, whenever possible, to witness the baptism of those they sponsor. They are to pray for them, support them in their ongoing instruction and nurture in the Christian faith, and encourage them toward the faithful reception of the Lord's Supper. They are at all times to be examples to them of the holy life of faith in Christ Jesus and love for the neighbor. Is it your intention to serve as sponsors in the Christian faith? If so, answer, yes, with the help of God. God enable you both to will and to do this faithful and loving work, and with His grace, fulfill what we are unable to do. Amen. Hear now the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. They brought young children to Jesus that He might touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw it, He was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to Me and do not hinder them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." And He took them up in His arms, put His hands on them, and blessed them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us now pray the prayer that our Lord and Savior Jesus has taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amber, the Lord preserve your coming in and your going out from this time forth and even forevermore. Amen. Amen. Now, it is very clear that Amber is not going to be able to give us a speech a confirmation essay, tell us how much she loves Jesus and how great of a job her mom and dad are doing taking care of her. Why? Because she's a little baby. She is completely dependent upon mom and dad, and extended family too, for everything. Food, water, clothing, shelter, diaper change, everything. What a beautiful picture of how God takes care of us and comes to us when we can't take care of ourselves. What is going to happen now is we will all, parents, sponsors, congregation, speak on behalf of the gifts that God gives and bestows in and through this miracle of holy baptism. So, Amber, Grace, Jackson, do you renounce the devil?
Yes, I renounce him.
Do you renounce all his works?
Yes, I renounce him.
You renounce all his ways?
Yes, I renounce them.
Do you believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth?
Yes, I believe.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried? He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead?
Yes, I believe.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting?
Yes, I believe.
Amber, Grace, Jackson, do you desire to be baptized?
Yes, I do.
All right, well, we're all ready to go. But we need a little help. Baptismal font is dry. When the little ones came into God's house, they were given a bottle of water. At this time, the kids can come on down. Mom, Dad, Grandma, Grandpa, if you need to bring a little encouragement or supervision with the kids, that is perfectly acceptable. The kids can stay down here then and witness the baptism if they like. And while all this is going on, we'll sing our baptism hymn, 593, See This Wonder in the Making, 593. Kids, come on down. A little bit. All right. You know what's in there? water. Some of you older kids might know H2O, that's what we call it, right? Yeah. All right. When do you normally use water? Well, you might drink it, but what else do you do with water?
You can swim in it in the summer.
You can swim in it in the summer. What else do you do before you eat a meal? Yes, you clean yourself. You wash your hands with it. And what God is doing is He's taking something simple that we know all about. Can't have life without water. Water cleans you off when you're dirty. Here, just plain old water is going in there. But God is going to attach something to that plain old water to make it special. What does God attach to the water? The Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit comes by the Word of God. And that's what the whole service and sermon is about today. The Word of God. Very good. Well, I think we've had enough already. Are you ready for this miracle? Ready to see it? All right. I'm going to take her, Dad, but I promise I'll give her back. All right. This is Amber Grace. Right here, okay? And her mom and dad love her so much that they want Jesus to come and live in her heart. That's pretty cool, isn't it? You better believe it. All right. And God promises that Jesus will come and live in her heart right here when He attaches His powerful Word and Holy Spirit to plain old water, H2O. All right. Let's go. Enough talk. Let's do the work. Amber Grace Jackson, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Did you get splashed a little bit? Yeah, that's right. That'll remind you of your baptism. The Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and of the Spirit, and has forgiven you all your sins, strengthen you with His grace to life everlasting. Amen.
Receive this burning light to show that you have received Christ, who is the light of the world. Live always in the light of Christ, and be ever watchful for His coming, that you may meet with Him with joy and enter with Him into the marriage feast of the Lamb in His kingdom, which shall have no end.
In holy baptism, God the Father has made you a member of His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and heir with us all, prayers of heaven, and is one holy Christian apostolic church. We receive you in Jesus' name as our sister in Christ, that together we might hear His word, receive His gifts, and proclaim the praise of Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light.
Amen. We welcome you in the name of the Lord.
Let us pray. Let's fold our hands, close our eyes, and bow our heads. Almighty and most merciful God and Father, we thank and praise you that you have graciously preserved and enlarged your family and have granted Amber Grace the new birth in holy baptism and made her a member of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and an heir of your heavenly kingdom. We humbly implore you that as she has now become your child, you would keep her in her baptismal grace, that according to all your good pleasure, she may faithfully grow to lead a godly life to the praise and honor of your holy name, and finally, with all your saints, obtain the promised inheritance in heaven through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
All right. Peace be with you.
Amen.
Amen. Thanks for coming down. All right. I'm going to give you back to Dad because I think you're ready for that. Okay. It's all right. All right. She's been kicking this around, so there we go. We have a couple of gifts that we have for you. We'll get some pictures afterwards. We want to make sure that you remember to take Amber's banner home, too. We have a baptismal shell, and there's three drops of water on here. Amber will always be Amber, but today God gave her a new identity as He baptized and grafted her into the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All of our identity in holy baptism. And we have, I'll let you give the sponsor stuff there. We have some certificates and a box for the candle. But we have a memory book for Amber's baptism, not only to talk about the importance and specialness of today, but the importance and specialness of God's gift of baptism each and every day. So, there we go. All right. Thank you. God's blessings, little one. Okay. And we will continue with the order of matins on page 219. And if you're able to, please stand. All right. Thank you.
Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord. Lord, we need the water and to the sun and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, it is now and will be forever.
Blessed be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
O God, let us worship Him. O God, let us sing to the Lord. Let us sing joyfully to God, our salvation.
Blessed be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
O God, let us worship Him.
We sing the introit.
Lord, have mercy.
hymn 586. Please be seated. Reading from Isaiah chapter 55. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle. And it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
We speak the gradual.
O Let your enemies know that you alone, whose name is the Lord, are the Most High over all the earth. O my God, make them like whirling dust, like chaff before the wind. A reading from 2 Corinthians chapters 11 and 12. For you gladly bear with fools, being wise yourselves. For you bear it if someone makes slaves of you, or devours you, or takes advantage of you, or puts on airs, or strikes you in the face. To my shame, I must say, we were too weak for that. But whatever anyone else dares to boast of, I am speaking as a fool, I also dare to boast of that. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they offspring of Abraham? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I am a better one. I am talking like a madman. With far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings and often near death, 5 times I received at the hand of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, dangers from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers. In toil and hardship through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is made to fall, and I am not indignant? If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. The God and Father of the Lord Jesus, who is blessed forever, knows that I am not lying. At Damascus, the governor under King Aretas was guarding the city of Damascus in order to seize me. But I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall and escaped his hands. I must go on boasting, though there is nothing to be gained by it. I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man was caught up into paradise, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And he heard things that cannot be uttered, which he heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter. On behalf of this man, I will boast. But on my own behalf, I will not boast, except of my weaknesses. Though if I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it, so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. So to keep me from being too elated by the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from being too elated. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me." O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from Luke, the 8th chapter. When a great crowd was gathering, and people from town after town came to Jesus, he said in a parable, "A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path, and it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away, because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. and some fell into good soil, and grew and yielded a hundredfold. As he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. To the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Lord, the habitation of your house, and the place where your glory dwells.
Grace and peace, love and mercy from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. Text for our meditation this morning, the Old Testament reading that we heard just a moment ago, from Isaiah 55, verses 10 through 13. And I want to start with the last half of that text. "For you shall go out in joy and shall be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle. And it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off." So far our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I don't know what that sounds like to you, but that sounds an awful lot like the Garden of Eden to me. No thorns, no briars, no problems. In fact, all of creation, the mountains and the hills and the trees, are singing and rejoicing and clapping their hands. The book of Revelation describes it this way: no more pain, no more suffering, no more sorrow, no more tears, no more death, for the old order of things has passed away. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? I don't know about you. I'm ready. I'm ready right now. I'm ready to have no more problems, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more sin, no more tears, no more death. I'm ready. I'm ready right now. And yet, I find myself like the psalmist in Psalm 44. We sang these words a few minutes ago when we sang the introit. Awake! Why are you sleeping, O Lord? Rouse yourself. Do not reject us forever. For our soul is bowed down to the dust. Rise up. Come to our help. How many times in the midst of our problems, in the midst of our sorrows, in the midst of our sin, in the midst of our suffering, we cry out to God and God acts like He's asleep? From our perspective, God either doesn't know, can't hear, or doesn't care. So we cry out, wake up! Don't you know what I'm going through? Wake up, God! Don't you know the pain, the suffering, the sorrow, and the hurt? Don't you know how I'm bowled over? And all I can see is the dust. And when I look at the dust, I'm reminded of Genesis 3, dust you are and dust you shall return, and I don't like it. Wake up! My friends, today we come into God's house. And all of God's words are about God's Word. In the very familiar parable of the sower, we have all kinds of things that are happening to the Word. Sometimes the Word is snatched up by the devil before it even goes in our ear. Sometimes the Word sprouts and grows, but it doesn't have a very good root system, can't get any water, and it chokes off and dies. Where I want to focus today is on the Word that is cast among the thorns. It grows, it really grows. But God's Word says that the thorns choke it off. Jesus teaches us what those thorns are. They are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life. My friends, we don't like to think about this because this is where we live. We who bear the name of Christ, like little Amber Grace now in the waters of holy baptism, we who are baptized into Christ Jesus, we who bear His name, we who have been given the gift of the Spirit, the Word has been given to us. We are alive in Christ Jesus. But where we live is full of thorns. And they grow up. And they choke us. They choke out God at work in us. Cares, riches, pleasures. Riches are our stuff, our possessions, our money, our portfolio, our house, our home, you know, it's our stuff. Sometimes we are so consumed with our stuff, we turn it into an idol. It becomes the most important thing for us. It doesn't have to be anything big or fancy or really valuable in the world's eyes. But it becomes the most important thing for us. It consumes us. It chokes us. The pleasures of life are related. The things that we like to do, the things that we get enjoyment out of, things that are not bad in and of themselves, but when we take these pleasures and we turn them into a false god, they choke us. We get to the point where we're so consumed by our stuff, by our riches, by our activities, by our pleasures, that we don't have time for the Word of God. We don't have room for the Word of God. And so the Word of God becomes less and less important for us to the point where we just die spiritually. These things are real. And these things happen. But I want to focus a little bit more on the first one. The cares. The worries. the burdens that choke us. Are you choking today? Are you worried? Are you afraid? Afraid of the future? Worried about your health? Worried about things that are going on in the world? Economics, politics? You worried about your job? You worried about grades at school? Are you worried about relationships that you're in? These are the things, the cares and the worries that choke us. They choke us to the point where we're bowed down and we have no hope. We're choking. And we look around and we see people, and it just drives us crazy because we see some people and they don't have a care in the world. You know the kind of people I'm talking about, right? Yeah. They don't have a care in the world. Friends, I'm telling you one thing. These people who don't have a care in the world, they are either lying. In other words, they're hypocrites. They have cares and they're pretending they don't. Or they have learned to deal with their cares. That's where I want to be. And I would just bet that's where you want to be as well. God gives us a promise in His Word. A promise of no more pain, no more suffering, no more sorrow, no more sin, no more worries, no more cares, no more choking. And to fulfill that promise, He gives us His Word. His Word is like that really nice guy in the restaurant. And he looks over and he sees somebody three tables away choking on their steak. And he jumps up and he races over and he gives him a big hug from behind and saves his life. God's Word is like the holy Heimlich maneuver when we are choking on the cares and worries of life. We have become programmed that when people talk to us, we doubt. We know that sometimes people lie. Sometimes people stretch the truth. So we take everything with a healthy grain of skepticism. We don't want to believe anybody. We don't want to trust anybody. And we take that common sense life approach and we bring it to God and His Word. My friends, now is the time to repent of that approach to God's Word. God's Word is true. God binds Himself to His Word. God cannot lie. God swears by Himself. This is who He is. And when He gives you a promise, you can take it to the bank. We spend so much of our life and so much of our choking on the things of life trying to figure things out. Why did God do this? Why did God allow that? My friends, instead of trying to figure out why God is doing what He is doing, why God is allowing to happen what is happening, what in the world God is thinking, instead of doing that, listen to the Word of God. Don't try to figure it out. Just hear it. Believe it. The simple Word of God for you. And when you are choking, really choking, remember this. God is not punishing you when bad things happen in your life. Did you hear that? Oh, yeah. The consequences of our actions are always with us. But when bad things happen, God is not punishing you. Can you get that through your thick head? Remember what Jesus said on the cross? He said a lot of stuff on the cross. But the one here to focus on, he said, "It is finished." Everything necessary for your salvation, including the suffering and punishment and penalty for your sin, has been accomplished by the God-man Jesus once and for all. It is finished. When bad things happen in your life, God is not punishing you. He's trying to get your attention. To get your attention off of yourself, off of your sin, off of your choking, and on to the one who was punished on your behalf. That's how much God loves you. And He won't give up. He won't give up. He'll never give up. You're too precious. You're too precious in His sight. My friends, the Word of God is powerful. And it changes us. It changes us from the inside out. God's word of law, like a deep plow that cuts deep into the ground, cuts deep into our heart. It drives us to our knees so we can see our sin. God's word creates contrition, which is true sorrow for our sin. God's word creates faith, which can cling to the promises of God. God's word creates true repentance, which is being sorry for our sin and believing that God can and does forgive us in the person and work of God, of Jesus Christ. God's word converts us. God's word keeps us. God's word sustains us. That's why He continually asks us to be in God's Word. My friends, Isaiah says, His Word will accomplish the purpose for which He sends it. What is God's purpose in sending His Word? All right, spelling test. Are you ready? F-A-I-T-H. The purpose of God's word is faith. Faith that believes and clings to the promises of God. That is the purpose. That is the reason why God's word goes out. God's word creates and sustains faith. Faith that hears, faith that listens, faith that believes the Word of God. Faith that clings to the promises of God and forgiveness, life, and salvation, even when we're choking. Even when it seems like all the promises of God are the exact opposite of what's going on in life. Faith clings to the Word, and the Word alone. Nothing more than the Word, and certainly nothing less than the Word. My friends, God's promise is attached to that Word for you. You know, we've been having an amazing stretch of warm weather for February, haven't we? Several days of 60-plus weather in a row. I heard yesterday that this hasn't happened in Nebraska, this many days of 60-plus weather in a row since 1930. The frost is already out of the ground. Isn't that crazy? Farmers are working in the field. People are planting things in their garden. But you know what? When you leave here today, look around. In spite of all this warm, amazing pre-spring weather, what color is it? It's brown. It's dead. Just wait. Just wait. Is it possible for things to remain brown and dead after that first spring rain? After that big March snow? Absolutely not. You'll wake up one morning and you'll go outside and you'll go, when did this happen? Everything's green. I didn't even notice. It just happened. God gives us this picture in nature because it is impossible after a rain for things not to be green and alive. God gives us this picture in nature because this is exactly how the Word of God works in your life. In the same way that the rain and the snow come down from God to give life, life to the world, feed seed to the sower, food to the eater, you and me. So is His Word that goes out. His Word will give you life even when you're choking. His Word will keep your eyes on Jesus even when everything around you seems to be falling apart. Those promises are real and sure and certain and valid because Christ's holy precious blood guarantees that you, your sins are forgiven. He has put His name on you in the waters of holy baptism. God doesn't lie. You are His. No one or nothing can take that away from you. My friends, faith is at one time the simplest and most difficult thing in the whole world. Faith doesn't do. Faith is done to. Faith doesn't run after. Faith simply receives. We want to do it. We want to be in control. We even want to control God. But instead, God says, just listen. Hear my word. Believe my word. Trust my word. Live my word. And not only will all those promises that I've given you about no more pain, no more suffering, no sheer joy forever and ever, they're real and they're yours, but in the meantime, until you get that fully, perfectly in heaven, you can live in my word without a care in the world. May God grant it to you for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, our worries, our cares, even our choking in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. Having heard the word of God, we can do nothing but rejoice. This morning, we sing the words of the Benedictus, the Song of Zechariah, page 226 in our hymnal. Please stand as you're able. Oh, Amen. Welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus. This time we ask that you would participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or on the internet this day. We pray that the power and purpose of God's word to create and sustain faith in you would be yours today and always. This time also, we worship God with our gifts and offerings.
In addition to the prayer requests listed in your news and notes, we also remember Marianne Preschult, who is currently hospitalized, and Renos Kuntz, who is hospitalized during the week. We stand for prayer, beginning with the Kyrie, page 227. Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and power, the Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
O God, the strength of all who put their trust in you, mercifully grant that by your power we may be defended against all adversity. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. The response of the people of God this day is, Lord, have mercy. For the church, that all the baptized would continue to hear the word of God, hold it fast in honest and good hearts, and bear fruit with patience. For all baptized, especially Amber Grace, baptized into the name of Jesus this day, that they would be kept safe and secure in the holy ark of the Christian church, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the office of the holy ministry, that the seed of God's word would be sown and find good soil in many through the preaching of the gospel and the administration of the sacraments, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the nations of the world and its leaders, that all who receive the sword as your servants may bear it according to your command, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those enduring a time of sickness or suffering in this veil of tears, especially Marianne, Renos, Pam, Jerry, Celeste, Chip, Maureen, Steve, Ed, Jan, Sonia, Laura Lee, Dwayne, Lori, Betty, Bonnie, Ted, Susie, Anna, Larry, Ralph, Warren, Leonard, Kay, Bridget and Sophie, Diane, Beth, Faye, Mark, Betty, Robert, the son-in-law of Raleigh and Marge Victor, and Paris, that they would know the peace that the world cannot give. Commending each into our Father's loving hands and asking for a happy issue out of their troubles, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all the faithful, in whom the seed of God's word was planted and cultivated until they departed this veil of tears in faith, especially Lynn, Rosa, and Jeff, let us give thanks to the Lord, asking Him to bring us to share in the joys of the unending feast with them. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. O Lord, our heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.
We remain standing for the last two verses of 578. 578.
Rose and shall blow.
welcome in the name of Jesus, the Word made flesh for you and for your salvation. Just a couple of quick announcements. Check out the Good Shepherd news and notes, the activities and events that are happening in the days and weeks ahead. Next big event is the school preschool auction gala. There's somebody out on the table answering questions and selling tickets. Is that you, Sheila? Yeah, all right. Sheila Turek is out there. She'll be able to help you out with regard to that. That is Friday, March 10th. Friday, March 10th. Also, in about 10 days, March 1st, we'll begin our Lenten journey to the cross in empty tomb. Ash Wednesday, we will have all of our Wednesday services during Lent. We'll have two opportunities for worship, 12:15 in the afternoon, and then 6:30 in the evening. Fellowship meals, all that kind of stuff, just like we have the last several years. Details are in the news and notes for that as well. Pastor, anything else? Oh, thank you very much. Pastor's been teaching a Bible study with our youth on Mormonism on Sunday mornings, and he's wrapping that up. He'll be starting a new Summary of Christian Doctrine class, and that will be on Sunday, March 12th. Sunday, March 12th. If you'd like to find out a little bit more about the Lutheran Church, Lutherans believe, teach, and confess, or a little bit of a refresher in the faith, that will be the class. That will be March 12th at 9:30 in the morning. All right. Have a great day and week and life in the Word, which is Jesus.
You have been listening to the regular Sunday morning worship service of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Clint Poppy and Christopher Morande pastors. Empowered by the Spirit, compelled by God's love and forgiveness, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church celebrates and shares Jesus through worship and witness, nurture and fellowship. We invite you to join us each Sunday morning for worship at 8 o'clock or 10:30 a.m., Sunday school and Bible study at 9:30, or Wednesday evenings for worship at 6:30 p.m. with Bible study at 7:15. Good Shepherd is located in South Lincoln on 40th Street, one block north of Old Cheney. You can also worship Sunday mornings at our daughter church, Lamb of God Lutheran Church in Hickman. Worship services are held in the American Legion Hall at 106 Locust Street. Worship begins at 9 o'clock a.m. with Sunday school and Bible study at 10:15. Recordings of this and other services may be found by visiting our website at www.goodshepherdlincoln.org. Good Shepherd Lincoln is all one word. If you would like a tape of this service or would like more information about Good Shepherd, call Pastor Poppy or Pastor Morande at 402-423-7639. This broadcast is brought to you as a mission project of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.